Thank the light, everyone. I am your oops, I killed a blade master, and these are my wolf brothers.
I don't even... I am your ex-warder. I don't even know what to say, dude. You blew every thought I had out of my brain.
Yes! Jeremy, what do you got?
I'm your blade master, sleet, and snow. With chance of hail.
I am Gawain's douchey responses to serious questions.
If you want to get this, you got to listen to the last episode, folks. That's how we do it. Welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. And today, I am bringing it. I'm not really bringing anything that I have a ton of questions about.
You're just bringing it to the table, and that's great.
Exactly. I have a...
I like when you bring anything to the table because I want you to, like, you know, I want you to be doing this because you like it, or at least like it. I would love if you loved it. It seems like Jeremy's starting to love it less, so I don't know. Maybe if you loved it more.
I think he's starting to like this podcast more, though.
I love this podcast. What are you talking about? I love this podcast.
That's hella fun, but I mean, it's like, I want to, why can't it just be love? I keep telling you the answer is love. And Jeremy, you're bringing hate.
I believe I'm the one who said the answer was love all along. Thank you very much.
Then why do you hate so much?
Sometimes you got to love to hate.
Oh, I love to hate this conversation with you.
I lost.
Your brain's got the shell on it.
I lost my spot looking for Jeremy's spot in the left.
Oh, no.
No, I took a fucking picture of it. Like, I didn't even, like, I'm like, I'm not guessing about where I want to start this.
I got to say, it's been pretty amateur with when I let you guys choose clips. Like, where, what's happening? I'm like,
what are we
I guess
doing?
I'll find it and bring it to the table then. So do you have an actual clip, Stez, or are you just, like, bringing a couple of things about them? Okay, I'm getting a finger. Settle.
So what I have for you, this is a clip of Nynaeve and Egwene getting confronted by, what's her fucking name?
Leandrin.
Leandrin. When Leandrin basically, and the reason I want to listen to this is I don't know how much of a bitch Leandrin is being about this.
Mm.
If she's being honest and just trying to protect them. But she's being kind of like...
What book is this? And where... it could be either, depending on what interaction we're talking about.
The Great Hunt, Chapter 12, Woven in the Pattern, Minute 8:30.
Where are they physically?
Let's just let them play it, and then we'll listen to it. And then we'll tell them exactly what's going on.
All right. Co-producer. Jeez.
And this might get a little bit long, so just tell me at any point if you guys are like, we're good, we get it. This goes on for quite a while.
Get to it.
Egwene almost jumped out of her skin that first night out of Faldara when the tent flap was pushed aside and a plump, square-faced Aes Sedai, with graying hair and a vaguely distracted look in her dark eyes, ducked into their tent. Egwene thought she felt something, thought she almost saw something about the Aes Sedai when the flame grew brighter. Moiraine had told her that one day, when she had more training, she would be able to see when another woman channeled, and to tell a woman who could channel even if she did nothing. I am Varen Nathwyn, the woman said with a smile. Egwene exchanged glances with Nynaeve as they got to their feet. Is this a summons to the Armerlin seat? Egwene asked. Varen laughed. The Aes Sedai had a smudge of ink on her nose. Oh my, no. The Armerlin has more important things to deal with than two young women who are not even novices yet. Although, you never can tell. You both have considerable potential, especially you, Nynaeve. One day, but this is not one day. I am here to give you a lesson, Egwene. You have been poking in ahead of yourself, I fear. Oh, nothing wrong. Not exactly. Somewhat dangerous, perhaps, but not exactly wrong. Varen lowered herself to the canvas floor, folding her legs under her. Sit, both of you, sit. I don't mean to crane my neck. She shifted around until she had a comfortable position. Sit. What is it I've done that's dangerous but not exactly wrong? Why, you've been channeling the power, child. Egwene could only gape. Nynaeve burst out. That is ridiculous! Why are we going to Tar Valon if not for that? Moiraine Sedai has been giving me lessons. Varen held up her hands for quiet, and they fell silent. She might seem vague, But she was Aes Sedai after all. Child, do you think Aes Sedai immediately teach every girl who says she wants to be one of us how to channel? Well, I suppose you are not exactly every girl, but just the same. Then why did she? Nynaeve demanded. There had been no lessons for her, and Egwene was still not sure if it rankled Nynaeve or not. Because Egwene had already channeled, Varen said patiently. So have I. Nynaeve did not sound happy about it. Your circumstances are different, child. That you are still alive shows you weathered the various crises and did it on your own. I think you know how lucky you are. Of every four women forced to do what you did, only one survives. Of course, Wilder's... Varen grimaced. Forgive me, but I am afraid that is what we in the White Tower often call women who, without any training, have managed some rough control. Random and barely enough to be called control. Wilders have difficulties, it is true. Almost always they have built up walls to keep themselves from knowing what it was they were doing, and those walls interfere with conscious control. The longer those walls have to build, the harder it is to tear them down. But if they can be demolished, well, some of the most adept sisters ever have been Wilders. I don't see what any of that has to do with me, Egwene said. With you? Why, nothing. Your problem is quite different. Most girls who want to become Aes Sedai, even most girls with the seed inside them like you, are afraid of it too. Even after they reach the tower, even after they've learned what to do and how, for months they need to be led step by step by a sister, or by one of the accepted, but not you. From what Moraine tells me, you leaped into it as soon as you knew you could, fumbling your way through the dark with never a thought of whether there was a bottomless pit under your next step.
See, I feel like that's something, that's like a myth that they tell them because they want to like hold that knowledge because they seem to really hold people back.
Well, they're also afraid of them hurting themselves, right? They can burn themselves out by doing things that they don't know how to do.
Well, and I totally get that, but it's like one of those things. It's like, well, you better not eat and go swimming within half an hour because you're going to cramp and die. It's like, well, yeah, that could technically happen, but you know, you could fall out of a tree and break your neck too, but I still like to climb trees as a little kid. You know what I mean? It's just like, yes, this could happen, but is it really that big of a danger? Because when they really start to kind of branch out and test stuff, it's not, I think some people do get burned out. That's way later in the books, but I think most of the time it's generally works out okay.
They do say not to channel after you've eaten for like 30 minutes. And if you and if while you're channeling,
is it so dangerous or like just really bad cramps?
No, it's really bad cramps. That's all.
Okay.
But if you're channeling and someone hits you on the back, your face will stay like that forever.
Okay. All, I mean, that's all really sound logic.
It's, yeah, 100%.
Because I'm learning now, like I'm slowly learning, like, you know, the way you weave the, there are certain things you do to weave certain patterns. So if you get drunk and try to weave those patterns, can you throw them off a little bit?
It's kind of like fucking doing fireworks while you're drunk. You might lose a hand. You could hurt your friends.
I can honestly say that I don't think that ever came up in the books. Like, we're going to get drunk and we're going to start channeling and we're going to see if we can tear a hole in something.
You, outside. We're going to do this.
We're going to duel. Duel. Expelliarmus. Balefire. Oh, shit.
So it kind of goes on like this. The only reason, I don't think we need to listen anymore. The only reason I would want to is that maybe it's just the way the reader is saying it. Maybe it's the way she's enunciating it. Like, she makes Varen sound very just like, oh, well, if you think that's how it's done, pretty, but, you know, she's just real, oh, little
no,
girl.
It's not.
Varen's a weirdo, so I think that's purposeful. I mean, I think it's purposeful, right?
No, it's absolutely. She's reading it the way Robert Jordan wanted it to be read, and you're picking it up totally, Desmond. It's she's like, okay, that's how you think it is. That's not how it is. But it's cute that you like that.
Okay.
But here's what's going to happen: when you go to the tower, you're not going to be able to do all these things, and if you do, you will be punished.
Okay.
And then she smiles and goes.
She's like the stern but kind of ditzy grandmother. Like, do you want some cakes?
Okay. And it's like she's talking to children because in her mind, she basically is because she's probably, I don't know.
Yeah, what's Varen? A couple hundred years old, right? She's probably.
Yeah, Varen's old. She's older than you.
200-ish?
Eh, I don't think she's that old. Probably like 100.
How old's
over
Katsuan? 100. Katsuan's like fucking 500, right? 400?
No. I think she's only like 200 or something. Because remember.
What? I thought she was 300 plus, man.
Maybe she's close to 300, but.
Okay. I know it shortens their life a lot, but yeah.
It shortens their life, yeah.
What I really want to get into, just how badass are Egwene and Nynaeve?
Very.
Like, Jeremy, I'll let you take this one first, at least for like Nynaeve's part, because, you know, you've got some issues with some of the characters they throw in at the end because of House.
Yes, because.
Give us some comparisons about Nynaeve, because like maybe just for people who've read and for like book or for TV people, for like, so we can maybe not in the TV show. She's obviously not that strong now, but you need to be able to realize how much potential she has.
There's kind of a hierarchy of people and power and everything like that. At the very top, you got like Rand, right? Rand, Ishmael, they're like on the same level. Lanfear is pretty close. I think she's probably just a tick below them. Am I missing anybody else? Justin? Aghanor's probably like right up there.
No, I think they're all pretty, like, once you pass what those, I mean, by the end, I would consider Nynaeve almost up there with Rand, or is she not?
No, she's not there.
Just not? Like, but she bests pretty much all the other Forsaken except Lanfear and Ishmael, right? Is that fair? Or at least as strong as everyone else. That's that second tier. I'd say she's at the top of that second tier.
I would say that she's probably closer to third tier. So
doesn't quite crack the first tier. He's pretty.
Who's? Did you guys mention Olivia?
Olivia?
Yeah, she's one of the people at the end who's basically as strong as Nynaeve.
Is it stronger? Olivia and Candane? Are they the two that come in at the end?
Sindane is. Listen, we're just going to call her Lanfear, okay?
Yeah.
fair enough.
Continuing on with. So you have this tier of like really, really strong. And then you kind of drop down, and there's like a few other ones. I would say Aghanor, not Balthamel.
Samael. What about Demandred? Demandred's got to be in the top tier.
I would say Demandred is probably top with Rand and those guys.
Yeah, probably the bottom of that tier.
Yeah, you kind of drop down to a third tier, and that third tier is like Mogadin, Masana, Semmer. I don't remember. I never knew how to say Semmerhag. Semmeridge. Those and maybe Grendel is in the second tier. Nynaeve is like in that third tier. Like, she is as strong. There is literally no Aes Sedai.
You think she's all the way down in the third tier? You wouldn't put her in the second tier?
I would say she's probably. So maybe she's between second and third tier. So she is up there. Literally no Aes Sedai in the world that is a living, when they find her, is as strong as her. None of them. Cat Swain was probably the strongest, and she's really old, and she's not nearly as strong as Nynaeve.
Well, and like what you're saying too, that third tier is like people who are very strong, and I would say that third tier of people have talents. They are strong in certain talents that could kick them up or make them stronger than the second and first tier just because they're so strong. Like, obviously, Nynaeve is that strong in healing.
Yes.
And, like, you know what I'm saying? You know, Grendel, compulsion, obviously, you know, stuff like that. Samael is very good at war. So it's like they have certain talents that kind of make them, give them advantages, but they still stay in that third kind of level.
Yeah, and then Egwene is underneath her. She is also probably stronger than everyone else alive. Egwene is.
Yeah, but still not as strong as Nynaeve.
But still not as strong as Nynaeve. And
I would say Egwene increases her strength a lot when she gets captured, and she still isn't as strong as Nynaeve, but much more talented in Telon Riad.
Is Aes Sedai strength, are you just born? I mean, obviously you can hone it at the White Tower, but can you be a good Aes Sedai and then train at the White Tower and become super powerful? Or is that baked in your DNA?
It's baked in. Okay. Like, you're going to get stronger at work, but you have a top. Like, that's it. It's like the three of us, right?
Like, it's like working out, you know, like you can only put so much muscle mass on your frame, but it doesn't really have a physical, like, it's not, oh, this person's big, so they can hold more of the power. It's just like, but I would say that people who...
It's midichlorians, I get it.
It's midichlorians.
Right, but you can increase your midichlorians.
You can increase your control of the midichlorians you have.
Right. Oh, well, I would say that people who can learn to channel can increase their overall channeling strength by usage more than someone who's born. I think if you're born with the strength, you kind of have a fucking ceiling and a floor, And I think if you can learn to channel, it's just kind of like, we don't know. How depends on how good you eat and how much you work out and, you know, like your genetics. And I don't know.
I would say it's more like speed, right? You like I'm only going to get as fast as I can get. And I'm gonna top. I can train. I can get faster. I ain't beating Usain Bolt. I ain't running 100 and under 10.
There's a reason why every swimmer at the Olympics looks the same.
Exactly, they're all built the same.
That is exactly true. That if I were to like eat right and everything, I could not beat.
None of them are 5'10 and 200 pounds like me. They have the same haircut, but that's about it.
Well, my dreams are dead, so thanks.
Thank the light, killing dreams one episode at a time.
That's what we do.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Is there any, do genetics ever play into it that we find out?
So you're kind of hinting at something that is brought up later on in the books, because what we find out, this is what some people are thinking. Kind of by the end of the book, it's all dispelled, kind of, but they're saying that's because they keep gentling all the men, and the men never...
It's like culling the ability out of the
population.
You're
culling the ability out of the people. But by the end, they start finding all these women that could channel, and they just were basically either becoming like wisdoms or Aiel wise ones or sea folk or all this stuff. But they kind of go out and start finding them.
They had their roles in society that weren't necessarily just channeling openly or... I mean, the Aiel are different, but like, I think a lot of like people like Nynaeve, like maybe depending on where they live, might suspect, but a lot of them just are like, well, I'm just really good with herbs.
Yeah. And that's what it would have been. Like Nynaeve probably, if she didn't like, so what can happen too is like, if you start to channel and then you don't get to learn how to control it, a lot of people get sick and die. Like, it's just like your body can't handle it and you just die.
Oh.
So like Nynaeve, what could have happened is she just like, occasionally channels and all these people miraculously come back from, you know, they're almost dead and they miraculously come back to life. But I needed these herbs, but she didn't really need the herbs.
Okay.
Wink, wink. She didn't
know.
It's
like a crutch. It's like a mental crutch. It's like, you know, well, I can do this. And it's like, I think that's part of what helps her survive.
Is she putting the powers into the herbs even? Or is it just her getting near them?
No, it's sort of just like, wow, her poultices work better than anyone else's. It's like, yeah, because she's also channeling.
And I forget. So Nynaeve is green.
Yeah, yellow.
Right? No. Yellow, and Egwene is green.
No, I mean, she ends up becoming yellow. I don't think Nynaeve ever holds the Oathrod because she's like, I'm not going to become an Aes Sedai. Fuck that.
Yeah, that's a good question.
So Egwene she's just a fucking radical badass?
Egwene ends up holding the Oathrod, but much later.
Does she ever become a green?
She ends up holding the Oathrod, but she never becomes a green.
Hey, people out there, hit us up. Get to us at, I'm not ending the podcast. I just want to put this in right now. Hit us up on Twitter, wolfbrothers at parseailman or thankthelight@gmail.com. I want to know how many people listening to us are just watching the show. I would love to hear from some of you people and just see how it's coming for you, how excited you are for season two, if you're ever going to read the books, if you're just over the written page. Yeah, there you go. Talk to us. Hit me up.
There you go.
So, like, you know, in the books, Des, that I think we've talked about this, where the people can't understand, that's not the word I'm looking for. They can't put a, like, age to an Aes Sedai. They look at their face, and there's something weird about it. Like,
yeah, they
like,
just can't, like, put their finger on, like, is she 30? Is she 50? I just can't tell.
She 180.
Some things can happen where that they lose that.
Oh.
And so when that happens, they don't look the same anymore.
I think it's more than lose it, though. It's almost like a boomerang effect, I'd say.
I'm trying not to be spoilery, but yes. Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I'll shut up.
So that's what he's...
So do they all of a sudden look 100... If they've been around for 200 years, they just look like...
The opposite.
A fucking corpse?
No, the opposite.
The opposite?
They look super young.
Yeah.
Super young.
They look like they're 18, 20 again.
Yes.
Huh.
So...
And like, and it, then they have, their faces change a lot. Like they don't even look, they look like a younger version of themselves, but even more so, it's like they look different. Cause they, I think even like, even they say they're like, I never really looked like Swans is like, I've never, my features were never this feminine and pretty. Like I was always kind of like you know, had a, you know, a point in your chin and like my cheekbones were high and like, you know, it's like it seemed to change their appearance slightly.
And is this is from losing some power or just that power? They just lose.
And maybe that's just what I'm picking up on it. Jeremy, am I reading it wrong or?
But why does this happen?
Yeah, there's something happens.
Without spoiling.
All right. Well, dude, it's kind of impossible, man. No, it's okay. It's
okay. Do they lose their power?
Yes.
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 Okay. That's kind of what I assumed. I just wanted to make sure it was that simple.
That's why I, right now, and for show purposes, I don't think Moraine is cut off from the power forever because it would change.
But I don't think that, for the show, they have not brought this up at all. The fact that
that's true.
It's not
that's
part true. Of the show, so it's not
because they would have to like put like filters on their face or
yeah. How would you even
something.
Do it? How would you like? Yeah. It's
especially when you have fucking. You're gonna cover up Rosamund Pike's face. Like,
yeah, exactly.
What are you gonna do?
Right. I mean, Rosamund Pike already looks like you look at her and you're like, oh, she's 32, right? Or is she 40, 42?
Or is she 107?
She could be. Yeah. I'm like, well, she looks younger than me, but maybe she's older than me. I don't know.
I just think that, you know.
How old is Rosamund Pike?
That's a great question.
Probably like 48, I think.
Hold on. No, she's that old?
I bet she's
48.
I feel like she's been around forever. Like, she doesn't look old.
She got started later.
1979.
She's younger than I am?
She's 43. She's younger than me.
43?
January of 79.
But it's like you said, though, I've seen her like look really good and young, and I've seen her look haggard as fuck. Dude, I watched her in this movie. She was like I think maybe she was trying to protect her girlfriend, lover, could be friend. I don't know. But like she was looking fucking haggard. She was a murderer, though. But I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Charlize Theron's like that, too. She can look super good, and then she just looks yes. like monster, you know, like that chicken monster. Like, damn.
Have her and Billy Zane ever been in a movie together?
Who?
Rosamund and Billy Zane. Let's find that.
God, I hope so.
Please tell me that's happened.
If they've been in any movie together, we're going to just do that. We're just going to have a total bonus episode. Just do that. It's like, what are you guys talking about? We're talking about the 1987 movie.
Classic.
Crash Course.
Annie, Get Your Guns with Rosamund Pike and Billy Zane. Back to the show, everybody. Thank the light. I am. What are we talking about? Wait.
You're a stoned warder. I know I should know this, but I don't feel too bad from not knowing it off the top of my head. What are the gray Aja's specialty?
Diplomacy?
Philosophy and diplomacy?
I think they're into like, they're like diplomacy. The white Aja is more like.
They're a logic.
Logical based, like mathematics and things like that, and studying things.
Now I'm gonna look it up.
Green is healing, right?
No.
Not Desmond, you have tattoos? How many tattoos do you have?
Yeah.
Justin, do you have any Wheel of Time tattoos?
No.
I got this one to match Justin's 9216.
What's 9216? That's a 9206, isn't it?
Well, no, because you wouldn't put the.
It's just a fat one?
Yeah, because the one is the same. Same width as
you guys got matching
else.
Tattoos. That's so cute.
There's two others. They're not matching. They just have the same subject matter.
Four of us all went out and got 9216 on us.
What is that? Is that Willie Mays?
No, that's me, baby.
What does it say? 20.
He's looking at the 24 now. It says Slippy.
All I see is 24. Oh, okay.
It says Slippy 24. The Slippy's hard to see in there. 24. 24 is my number. I was born on Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay.
24 frames in a second. 24 seconds on a shot clock, 24 hours in a day.
Nice.
Ken Griffey Jr.
24, a show with Kiefer Sutherland.
That's a great show, too. And Slippy, because you love Star Fox. Fox.
Yep. You nailed it. That's where it came from.
The Gray Aja. Gray Aja. Dedicated to politics and medication. They favor harmony and consensus above all else. Often conflict mediators. And ambassadors. So that's what you're asking.
They're like Jedi.
Are any Aes Sedai Tarviren? Or are they?
There's only three Tarviren.
Not now. Has there ever been?
There's only three Tarviren?
Yeah, in the books.
What?
In the books, there's only three.
Yeah, that's how it is in the books, yeah. And
while this whole thing's going on, right?
Right, like, right.
Before that, lots of Taviran, like, as they, you know, throughout the ages. But right now, is this
going
on?
Who are other Taviran? I mean, Arthur Hawkwind. Taviran. Who else?
Luz Theron was.
Yeah, I guess Luz Theron.
And that's the only ones that they really ever talk about, as far as I can remember.
Huh. I don't know why I assume there was more people that were controlling
too many people,
the wheel.
Rand's way too strong. Like,
yeah,
you can't have that many. Plus, if Matt and Perrin at the same time.
Yeah, Rand, he's so strong. He's like a whirlpool. Like, Matt and Perrin get away from him, and they just keep getting pulled back to him. And even when they don't get pulled back at him, if someone even like mentions his name or they think about him, they'll get a flash of like what he's doing right then.
There's two scenes that I'll kind of illustrate what a Taviran does. Perrin wants to leave, and he's next to Rand at the time. And he's like, I got to go back to the Two Rivers because something's threatening the Two Rivers. And he's trying to leave, and he's just like, I can feel like something pulling me backwards. It's like, and then finally he has to like get on his horse and like gallop away. And then it's almost like, it's like something snaps inside him. He gets far enough away that he's not controlled by Rand.
Yeah, but it's only reason he could do that is because he's a strong Taviran himself.
Yeah.
Because normal people probably couldn't pull that off, right? I mean.
Yep. There's also a scene where Rand is like talking to somebody and he's like, I want you to do this. And the guy's like, yep. Wait, what? I wasn't going to say yes. And then he goes, yep. And I want you to do this. And the guy's like, absolutely. And he's like, what? No, wait.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he does that a couple times.
Does it get so powerful the closer they get to the end game?
Yeah, it gets much more power. Well, no. So yes and no. So
I think it
kind of
depends on the situation, right? I
mean, yeah, there's certain times when he like needs something to happen. And so he's like, I'm just going to go in there and tell him what's what. And it happens.
That's usually when he gets the biggest opposition, though, sometimes too.
Yeah, true. Then there's sometimes when he just walks in and everyone just starts saying, yep, yep. Even though they intended to say, no, I don't want to do that.
Even like people who are like dark friends, even they're like, I'm supposed to be killing this guy. And they're like, no, yeah, yeah, yep. Yep.
Yes, sir. Whatever you want to say or whatever you want me to do.
There is a certain time towards the end when he kind of tries to play that card, and it's with he really starts to go hard to try to unite everyone at the end. And there's this certain ritual. I don't know. What would you call it? Or like a test? And like it's like one of these things that it's like it comes down to like this dude slaps him. And it's like if he had like the wrong reaction, they would have all just went to war trying to kill him because they would have, like, it was like some prophecy handed down through their families by some random Aes Sedai who was an extension of this borderland family back in the day. Or no, it was someone who was a clerk of an Aes Sedai, and they ask Rand her name, and Rand's like, how do you know that name? And he tells them all about this woman who was Luz Theron's like clerk. And because he has the right answer, they know that he is Luz Theron reborn. But if even if he was Rand from 2 weeks ago in the books when this happens, he would have just annihilated all of them. He would have been like, oh, you're not going to get on board? Fuck you. Because he gets to a point where he's almost like, he's just like, he's like Anakin, dude. He's just like, I'm sick of the war. I just want it to be over.
Yeah.
I want to get this done so I could fucking die. Anakin's like, I want to go so I could be with my wife and my kids. Rand's just like, I'm ready to die. I want this to be over with. I know I'm supposed to die. And then he kind of gets to this point where he's like, maybe I'm not supposed to die. And like, it changes for him. But like, you know, if this whole scene would have happened a few weeks before in like book timeline, it wouldn't have went great.
And that's how it happens, folks. That's why they're Taviran, because we started talking about Egwene and Nynaeve, and of course we ended up talking about the Taviran, because they pull you in, baby!
Just when you think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Any last Nynaeve and Egwene?
Nynaeve is, once she outgrows, she's so haughty, you know, she's like very, like, you know, she's very condescending, like, and like, know-it-all big sistery for a lot of the books, and she's not afraid to throw that shit around. But once she kind of outgrows that a little bit, you know, her genuine concern for people and her strength and the power is like she's a really amazingly duplicitous character, because she could fuck some shit up, but the first thing she wants to do is fix, you know, to heal people. That's she would rather never ever have to use the power to destroy, you know.
Yeah, and Nynaeve, for, you know, the way that she's written in the first parts of you know, the books, not the first parts of the books, but the first books, the first six or seven books, she starts to learn humility and she starts to treat our heroes with more respect and come to understand, you know, their plight. And you're going to find out too that she's involved in two of the most epic scenes, epic instances of using the power.
Probably two of the most important things in this age.
Yes. Not probably, definitely. Definitely. She is directly involved. There are, in the first one, it's her and one other person. And then in the second one, it's her and two other people.
Well, and dare I say, those things would not, at least one of them would never have been successful without her talent in healing and her raw power. The other thing, like maybe someone could have taken her place, but because of the connection to Rand and watching him grow up and the love that she has for him, that's what makes that successful too. I don't think those two things could have been successful without her. And the impact, dude, and that's not to take away from Egwene, because while Egwene is like, dude, Luke gets the glory, man, because he is the, everybody's like, he's the warrior. Nah, man, Leia's really the warrior, man. She's the one with the edge, dude. She's the one that can fuck it up in politics, and she gets down with the lightsaber later on too. So it's like, that's kind of like the way Egwene is, like, she's very strong. She also plays the fucking game. She learns from the Aiel how to be humble, also how to lead. She gets anyone to follow her. She's a natural leader, and she gets stuff done because she's strong in the power, but she also gets stuff done because she, it's not even a manipulation. She knows how to lead people and get them to be like, this is the right thing to do, and this is what we got to do. It doesn't matter if we die. We have to stand up for what is right. And this is what's right. And this is what we got to do. And people are like, almost like the thing with Rand. They're like, I want to run away. I'm not dying. And they're like, yep. All right, here we go. You know, and you know what? Like, I mean, and like, and she does not back down, and she gives all, and she backs up her words with her actions too. That's why people follow her.
The thing is her and Rand end up almost in a similar place. Rand has more control over more people, obviously, but he's kind of pushed from the very beginning due to destiny. He's guided. He is pushed by the pattern. He's pushed by people. He's pushed by like just prophecy. And that's the way, you know, Rand has to succeed. So he has been pushed from the very beginning to be a leader, to step up and to take control.
Very much against his will.
Very much against his will. Egwene does it almost the same way, but she doesn't have that. Like, she doesn't have prophecy to push her. She doesn't have people to look for her and to look for
her. It's her ideals. Like I was saying, it's like, this is what's right.
Exactly. She has to do it because she's put in that position, number one, but then also she accepts that position and she's like, yeah, you know what? I can do this, and I have to do it because no one else is going to step up and do it. And if they did, they wouldn't be doing it right. So she...
Yeah, they would be shitty at it. So fuck them.
I don't trust anyone else. Looks like I have to do it myself.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parst Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parst Ailman. You can hit us up directly with questions and comments or show topics at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. If you want something else to listen to, head on over to the Sounds Awesome Network. You'll find that at whatsoundsawesome.com.
Yeah. Wait, before we go, I'm going on vacation because on the 21st, I've been married for 15 years. So shout out to my lovely wife.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations, man.
Looking for 15 more. So, all right. See you guys later. Spoiler alert. Sorry, Dez.
Dez.
Hey, everyone out there, tell us how you feel about spoilers. Because, you know, I don't want everything spoiled, but I also like...
I think you should absolutely fucking flush that.
Yeah, no, bleep that out. Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
So I think you would appreciate them.
I don't know. I hate a lot of stuff.
I know you do.